sermon title is The Church, a People Where God Lives. In 1 Corinthians, Paul uses a metaphor, church, as a building. It is so common that we kind of tune it out, so familiar we might not really listen. Oh yeah, here is Paul talking about a foundation, the footings necessary for any kind of building to make it level and hopefully sink-proof. But here is the irony. There were no church buildings when Paul preached. Zero. No country churches, no corner suburban churches, no basilicas. The followers of the way, those enthusiastic about Jesus, because either they knew him firsthand or they were enthralled with Paul because Paul was inspired by Jesus, those people all met in homes. As a spiritual community, they were a loose band of followers and identified as a people, passionate about their glimpse or full recognition of God in Jesus, their Christ. They didn't have a church building, but they did know what a foundation was. In Corinth, they walked through a thriving marketplace, part of a building program that had begun under Julius Caesar some years before. They saw people visiting Roman and Greek temples, as well as the ruins of the same. From Corinth, if you travel east 3 days by car to Jerusalem, you would find Jerusalem, and then just north of Jerusalem, Sepphoris. Sepphoris was a crossroads. Jesus was certainly in Sepphoris at different times, where people would have seen thriving businesses and palaces. Lots of foundations here too. And of course in Jerusalem, followers of the way would know the reconstruction work to rebuild the great temple. They would know the foundation upon which the new temple was going to be built. Paul says, "I laid a foundation and others are building on it. And the foundation is Jesus Christ." This is not a physical foundation, but a spiritual one. And in all fairness, Paul doesn't say it, but I will, Jesus built on a foundation too, from the book of Leviticus to all the prophets, including Isaiah and others. In the gospel reading we did not include today, Jesus quotes Leviticus, what is known as the holiness code. Care for the poor, leave grain and grapes for the gleaners, those who need food, love your neighbor as yourself. So what is the church to these early Christians in Corinth, Sepphoris, and Jerusalem? If it is something founded on a person, then it is something about ongoing learning and stories and living together. It's a people. And a stone or brick or cement foundation is just a metaphor. Loving your neighbor, leaving grain, and including deaf and blind, mentally ill in your community are not about geography or materials, but ministry. If this building here, three crosses, were to crumble in an earthquake tomorrow, and I'm not invoking God to make that true, the church would still be here. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Here, Paul is not speaking to individuals, although I like interpreting that each of our bodies is a temple, a gift, a sacred place. But here, Paul is using the plural you. You are that temple, meaning all of you, not many individuals, but you as a community. And this is where being the church is hard. Yes, caring for a building is hard, but being the people is harder. We are building on the work of others before us, work we may or may not like. And eventually we will cede adding our own additions to this metaphorical building. And others will build after us. Our own individual preferences get in the way of God's larger project sometimes. It is hard for us to step out of the way as individuals. Clergy and lay fall prey to seeing the success of the church as something to do with me. It doesn't matter whether the leader is Paul or Apollos or Cephas, as Paul points out. It doesn't matter whether the leader is Norma Lee, Britt, or John. The church is about a people, not any one of us. The first United Church of Corinth, if you will, was young, maybe 10 years old, even younger than Three Crosses. And there were already fault lines showing in the fellowship, splinters because of disagreements about who gets blame and who gets praise. They were not so united. It was time for Paul to remind them that what was important was the corporate we, the good of the whole, because this vision could survive with God's blessing. Individual visions would not. Here at Three Crosses, we are building on previous generations. We're building on the two churches that became the United Methodist and then merged with the United Church of Christ congregation in the 60s. All the pastors and lay people since helped the church build on this foundation and are helping it to become something new. Jesus is sometimes called the new Moses, and his followers were, if you will, a new group of exiles like those that followed Moses. Some were leaving Roman traditions, some leaving parts of Judaism's law and practices behind, some leaving their professions. We might liken ourselves to new exiles who are charting a new path. Like the exiles who followed Moses, there were difficult days, days of a discouragement, days when they needed reminding that the promised land could be something not only of God's making, but also their own making, their own discovery. Here is how we are building community at Three Crosses. Some of us gardened together last fall. It was fun. We are connecting, we have been connecting before, during, and after the restorative circles. Some have continued working with Deborah's Place. We are creating some new patterns in fellowship, socializing, and we'll do some storytelling in the upcoming retreat. At many of these events, we have not officially prayed together, but still our work has felt sacred to me. It was in the service of the whole, the we. Our temple is a people, and our ministry is about people. I believe we humans are always longing for community, and the pandemic, which we're just coming out of 3 years later, has created an epidemic of loneliness in our country. The good news is that this church can be that community with a message of openness and welcome forged over the years. Our mistake is perhaps to seek a utopian, perfect community. I know the history of some different groups seeking utopian communities, and not many have succeeded. The utopian community called New Harmony, Indiana, lasted 2 years before it was not sustainable economically. I've heard about individuals seeking out new forms of community here in the Chicago area and beyond in the last 10 years. My friend Julie Ruth dreamed about creating a cooperative living situation of adults in Oak Park. I know of a house in Hyde Park, a group of adults who have their own living quarters but cook cooperatively 7 days a week. Possibly not always in perfect harmony, what community is always in harmony, but cooperatively. And I know of a couple that is opening up their farm off the coast in Oregon to people who want to explore living and working together, somewhat like a small religious order of brothers and sisters, living simply and farming. Despite New Harmony, Indiana not surviving according to its original charter, it gave birth to many ideas. The first free library, a public school system open to men and women, and a civic drama club. All of these have become essential components of our society. I'm going to quote Friedrich Buechner, and I'm changing his word kingdom to kingdom, as we do in our Lord's Prayer. Buechner writes, "You cannot make the kingdom of God happen, but you can open doors, give a glimpse of the kingdom as it is being manifest, as it is coming." In the next year, I hope you will be doing some more projects that you love, but you don't have to do it all. As humans, one of our burning passions is to make a difference and reduce suffering in our neighborhoods, and in the world, and we live in community because we can't do it alone. And communities work together because no small community can do it alone either. It takes a village or a metropolis. Each day, whether we're bored and lethargic or eager, there is grace there, a chance to be community, a chance to know God with us. I think for the future, another metaphor for church may be needed. We as humans have built up our buildings, our metropolis full of skyscrapers, vehicles to transport us, places of commerce so that nature is scarce. We have built up our urban and rural areas into places to worship consumption. We have built up factories and energy plants that huff and puff and create poisonous waste. Perhaps a new metaphor for the church is needed, a metaphor that helps us move towards sustainability, a network of life. Maybe the church is like a strong spider web built by the small but creative and industrious spider. Or is the church like our planet, a miracle of interdependent life? Or is the church a playground where cooperation and playfulness can coexist? May the church become something that is about creativity, industry, interdependence, cooperation, and playfulness. Amen.